welcome to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josiah Sinatum.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate episode 238. I'm Josiah Sat for the Villain on Twitter at comic_syndicate on Instagram. What's up, guys? Welcome to soundcheck number 23 of 24. No joke. I think I finally have my voice back this week. My throat doesn't hurt as much as it has the past week and a half. My left ear, I can actually kind of hear from. I don't have that earache, that ear burning sensation feeling as bad anymore. I'm trying to figure out the sound quality this week. Last week I had RG to be like, hey dude, whoa, how does this sound? And he doesn't really know the sound qualities, I guess. So he's just like, it sounds good to me. I'm like, okay, cool. Well, I can't fucking hear. So I'm going to fucking take your word for it. This week it's just me doing the Comic Syndicate back once again. So I don't have that help. So I hope this is okay. I hope I'm not blaring in your guys' ear. Hopefully I'm not echoey. Again, I don't have my full capacity yet to be able to play with, configure the sound quality volumes for you guys as well. So hopefully you guys are okay on that end. All right, let's start off what we hit 100 episodes ago. Episode 138, Adam and I, entitled hashtag Fuck Liefeld. There's a story behind this, guys. At Mem the Beaner, at it for the Villain, wrote Weekend Talk, then hit Things You Observe, along with Twitter love, and shoutouts. Sorry, no what the fuck news this week, but talk the history with you and Rob Liefeld. Oh, God, my. Okay, so, Rob Liefeld, guys. All you guys that are Deadpool fans, I know there are more Deadpool fans than ever before, yet 90% of Deadpool fans don't know his creator's name is Rob Liefeld. A lot of people, less people than that, know he's from Orange County, California. Even less percentage know that he's actually from Orange in Orange County, Southern California. A lot of people don't know this about this guy. I have a history with this guy. We entitled hashtag this title episode hashtag Fuck Liefeld, and it means something in particular to me. So, Orange County boy, fucking reading comics in the 90s, Jim Lee era art. So, great to get involved with that. Was reading New Mutants, was reading all those. When the New Mutants turned into X-Force. So, yes, I saw the debut of Deadpool before anyone knows. Gideon, Cable, yes. Domino. I was part of that fucking world. Nobody fucking knows it. The Deadpool you're reading right now, the Deadpool you're seeing right now, is not the Deadpool that was originally created necessarily. To top things out, let me just go back into this episode. I'm a kid in the 90s. I'm fucking 13, 12 years old. And Rob Liefeld had came out on a few Hanes commercials. So t-shirts, they had just busted out from tidy whities to t-shirts. And I knew who he was because they tossed on comic book pages. And it's like, holy shit, that's New Mutants. Holy shit, that's X-Force. So I knew who it was, and it's like, yeah, I'm the artist of blah, 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 blah. So, didn't know he was that local, although when Jim Lee, when Todd McFarlane, when Rob Liefeld, when they left Marvel Comics to start Image Comics, Image Studios, which was based in Anaheim, literally right where the Angel Stadium is, if anyone is familiar with California, Southern California, they were right there. Like where the StubHub building is. That was their office way back in the day. So anyways, I knew what Rob Liefeld looked like. So again, being a kid, 11, 12, 13 years old in the 90s, early 90s. I mean, I was born in 80 on the dot. So knowing what this Rob Liefeld looks like, we have this thing in Orange County, in Orange, called the Orange County International Street Fair. So one day I went, I think with my brother, I think Moses and a few of our friends, Manuel, who was also into comics, and a few other people. And we had gone out, and I had seen Rob Liefeld. I was starstruck. He's the first person I've really seen, like, not only on TV, but I'm a fan of this dude's work. I'm a fucking pudgy fucking 12-year-old kid. And I hit him up straight up during a fair. They say don't bother people when they're eating. Homeboy wasn't eating. It was nothing like that. It was just a fucking crowd of people. And this pudgy little kid asked him, Mr. Rob Liefeld, can I have your autograph? And the way this dude just looks at me kind of disgusted, gives me this fucking look and walks away. Broke my fucking heart as a pudgy little fucking 12, 13 year old. Since that day, fuck Liefeld. Fuck him. Straight up, so many reasons on fuck Liefeld. He thinks he's too big for his britches. He takes credit for everything. Granted, when you were working for Marvel at the time, if you created a character, guess what? It belongs to Marvel. That's why Image Studios was created, so it's creator-owned work is what it is. And something like that did need to spawn out of it. Spawn is one of those characters. But so many characters needed to have that medium, that background, so these artists and writers can own their properties, which I understand that aspect. But this guy always just being a tool and a douchebag. And he is a good artist. I mean, no joke, he is a good artist. He's also a very shitty artist as well. Like, you guys, if you guys are in front of a computer, even if you're not in front of a computer, as you're listening to this, pull up a side panel and pull up Google and pull up a, no joke, pull up Captain America Rob Liefeld chest side view, and you can see how bad his anatomy of drawing people really is. The way he draws women, the anatomy of a person is completely fucking off. Pull up Rob Liefeld feet. No joke. Pull these fucking up, guys. I'm going to show you. You're going to see for yourself how bad, how shitty of an artist this guy really fucking is. And it's not even to say like how bad of a character this dude is as a fucking person. Again, only the interactions I've had with him. My personal interactions. So if he wants to have some other things to say about me, then I'm completely cool with fucking that. Again, put in Rob Liefeld feet. Put in Google worst Rob Liefeld drawings ever. The torso, just the anatomy of characters, is bad. It's completely terrible. Like, the way he draws Captain America on it doesn't work. The aesthetics don't work. And feet, there is a funny meme that not a lot of people have seen or have caught, but it says like a Deadpool first introduced in 1991, his fern introduced till 4 years later, because dude can't draw feet. And again, the anatomy, like again, the facial expressions, the way he draws characters is dope, is great. I'm not going to take away from his art ability. He's a good artist. Is he as good of an artist as that everyone gives him credit for? Oh yeah, he's overblown, completely overrated by far. And the fact that people are willing to stick up for him, I guess, saying, oh, you don't know what you're talking about, Deadpool. It's like, no, fuck you. You don't know, first of all, his fucking name. You say you love fucking Deadpool, but you don't know his creator's fucking name. You don't know when he was created, and you don't know how much he's deterred from the character he was created initially as. And he didn't have these five different personalities. He didn't break the fourth wall. As far as the appreciation of the character, I definitely have that. The whole movies, the way, what's his name? Pikachu, fucking Ryan Reynolds, portrays him. He's the voice of fucking Deadpool. And I'm not going to deny that. I'm not going to say I hate Deadpool. He's one of those characters just like Adam and I used to talk about way back in the day. Wolverine is one of those characters that's burnt out. Let's toss him on in every fucking comic because he's going to sell because he's still a hot commodity character. He is one of those fucking characters. He has been for the longest time. And that he likes chimichangas and people love that about him so much is weird. So my beginning aspect of the appreciation of Deadpool compared to everyone else's is different. And then my personal interactions with Rob Liefeld, his creator, is completely different than everyone else's as well. I understand that. I get that. But guess what? If you want to fucking have a suck Rob Liefeld's dick fucking podcast, definitely feel free to start it and I'll fucking listen to it. On the flip side to that, though. Starting the second podcast and even third podcast, like, let me deep dive. And I don't think this is the one I should do with RG. This should be honestly an audio chronicles one. I work, second job is by the Orange Circle. Homeboy Rob Liefeld does live in Orange. I serve this guy fucking drinks. Like, we always give each other that look. We see each other at conventions. We always give each other that look where it's like, and we're nice to each other. Like, I think he knows who I am. And I know he knows. Like, we know. And it's always that, And we don't really say anything besides that. Have a good one. Like, enjoy your drink. It's not like I don't fuck with anyone's drink. I'm not that fucking dude. But it's just weird because, again, don't care for the dude. Now that I'm older and I have a voice now, not just the podcast, but I can speak my own mind to anyone. Like, I still want to kind of maybe have an audio chronicles with him if I ever see him or catch him again and be like, hey, dude, in a nutshell, you broke my heart as a little fucking kid. I was bashing you. I've been bashing you my whole fucking life since then. So the past fucking 18 years, longer than I've been a kid, as long as I've been a man, I've been fucking bashing you because I thought you were a piece of shit asshole person, human being of a person. That's not talented at all. And people like you way too much. They like you way too much than they deserve to like you because of one character you created. Good for you. And finally suck it up and be like, hey, dude, I've been bashing on you. And would you mind if I have an interview with you? And that way you can explain yourself. I can bring my personality too and let you talk and give your story. Like, you know what? Maybe you were in a rush. It was fucking, 18, 19, 20 plus years ago. Fuck me, 24 years ago by this point. And homeboy's not going to remember anyways. But to have that now, that option, and you know what? Maybe it would be a great conversation. Maybe I would piss him off. And he'd be like, you know what? Interview's over. It's like, gotcha. Either way, I got you. But again, the only way I don't want to do that, or the only reason I wouldn't want to do that is because numbers. Like, I don't want to look at anything like, ooh, I did it, bwahaha, for numbers. Like, never look at anything, especially to betray your guys' trust in me, faith in me to do this. I never want you guys to look at it like, he did it for a reason. And I do everything for a reason, yes. But, like, do I really need him on the show? Any of my shows? No. Would it make for a good sit-down? I honestly kind of think it would. We kind of rub off, you know, rub each other the wrong way, and we know of each other, and let's get it on the table. Let's hash it out, and fuck it. Let's see where it would go. I honestly think it would make a good audio chronicles from that aspect. So anyways, I know that's a long story off of what we spoke about 100 episodes ago, which constitutes 2 years ago, but that's exactly what we hit. The rest of that episode, we hit comic talk, comic news, William Dafoe Jones joins Justice League. Fuck, my words are all jumbled. Michael Keaton exits Spider-Man Homecoming. Actually, that's untrue because he was in that. He was a Vulture. Hasbro Cinematic Universe assembles some great writers. Wolverine 3, X-23 rumor. So that was Old Man Logan. With X-Men Age of Apocalypse trailer, we hit Stephen King It release date, which was a great movie. Game of Thrones renewed for 7th season. With Marvel Jessica Jones wins Peabody Award, which is great. Season 1 was fucking a great fucking series, which everyone I encourage to check out. Marvel Inhumans currently without release date, and that was the one that was released in IMAX for like 2 episodes, and then they had like a 4 episode on, I think, ABC, and I didn't see any of those, but I've heard and read nothing but terrible things about those. We had Warner Brothers theme park planned. Guardians of the Galaxy may replace Disneyland's Tower of Terror, which now, 2 years ago, it definitely has. Comic reviews, we hit Silk number 7. At For the Villain hits 5 in 10. So I used to do these weird things where it's like either 5 in 5 or 5 in 10, and I would literally shotgun release in 5 minutes. 5 in 5. 5 reviews, 5 comic reviews in 5 minutes. This one, I guess I went more in depth in each comic. It was 5 and 10. The ones I hit were Poison Ivy, Circle of Life and Death number 4, Haunted Mansion number 2. For Marvel, we hit Hyperion number 2, which was also me, All New Hawkeye number 6, and then Aquaman number 51. So that's when I used to read a lot more and had way more or slightly more time on my hands back then. And then at Mem Debiner Rose, Extraordinary X-Men number 9 review, Robin Son of Batman number 11, Nova number 6, and he hits the board game, Pandemic. All right, guys, that's what we hit 100 episodes ago. If you guys have any questions about the fuck Liefeld, go back 100 episodes ago. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Go to podbean.com, thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com. Find it if you're that curious about it. But it's the same story I've told everyone many times before. But how would you guys feel about it? Have you guys ever been in that situation or scenario where you guys are faced with like, shit, I'm 13 years old. I have nothing going for me. I'm a fat little fucking kid with, you know, no experience in life and no social skills at all. And I'm going to talk to this guy because I think he's cool and I like his work. And you get shot down. How have you guys gone through that? And am I a dick for not getting over it? And every listener has told me that has met Rob Liefeld. He's a fucking dick, dude, straight up. Like, he's an asshole. He's never on time for his signings. So how, again, how do you guys feel about it? And how have you guys responded in turn? Did I get sour about it? Am I holding a grudge? I mean, is it a good idea to hit him up if I finally catch him and be like, here's my card? He's going to be like, I knew you were that fucking asshole. Because I believe I'm blocked on his social media, which is completely fine. But he does know me. So we do have beef. Should I attempt to get him on the Auto Chronicles and just be like, you know what? Give me your life story. Let's fucking talk. Let's shoot the shit. And I think it would be a good story. I don't need it to sell. I don't need numbers. It's just a story I kind of would like to get. And I would like to apologize as well, too. Somewhat. I'm not going to apologize for his terrible art. But I want to praise some of his art, too. I mean, I was in love with New Mutants. So, again, how would you guys feel about it? How would you guys go about that? All right. Now bullet points, finally. I'm going to be dropping a deep dives in rabbit holes poll, Twitter poll soon, so watch out for that one. And I also might even put up a Twitter poll for Comic Syndicate Twitter poll. I got to put that down, Twitter poll. And we'll put RL, should I get Rob Liefeld on? So I'm very curious about that. Next one's going to be a huge shout out to my office coworkers, RG and Victoria. We had a weight loss challenge. I lost 10 pounds. Victoria lost 12 pounds. RG lost 20. So we took first, second, and third place. I feel lazy because I could have done more, but I work so much. But not even making excuses. Like, I'm proud of these guys. Like, we brought it. And just props to them. I know it's a week and plus 2 weeks over that I have given them props to or for. But I've been sick the past two Fridays, so a week and a half, over a week and a half I've been sick. And just fucking sucked. So to feel just useless when you're sick and like full fever. Two Fridays ago, I got hit with the fucking flu, a fever, and just to have the chills and just to be racked up in bed all day with the chills and beanie and fucking hoodie and everything and just kind of feel alone fucking sucked. But my friend Sunny hooked me up with a bunch of medicine and picked me up, ordered me some pho. And throughout the day, like, I was just on this weird flu nightmarish dream, these fever dreams, these NyQuil dreams, as I'm dropping NyQuil during the day, like at 11 throughout the fucking day, just pounding fucking NyQuil. So these NyQuil trips and these dreams that were really elaborate, I guess, and exuberant to a certain degree. And I wanted to write so many of them down, but just being so fucked up, I didn't have the energy to put anything to paper. And I'm a paper guy, pen guy, and negative. The only thing I did is I did come up with an idea of a premise of a story, I guess, which is really interesting that I really need to put that one I need to put that one to paper and make that one materialize, because it's like, okay, everyone's felt this way, and if people were put into this situation or scenario, how the fuck would they go about their lives or life, or would they have the hustle? Fuck me, would I have the hustle? And I asked myself that, and I don't know how high my fever was, but I was fucked up. Again, throat was jacked up, left side of my throat, and my ear was a bad ear infection. So I came with the premise of a new story that now that I need to work on, and that's just something on the side. Next bullet point is going to be talk about 100 episodes and how I started to put work into that one. More work. I have, a month left. So this is going to drop still the end of November. 4 more weeks. So 3 weeks to put into episode, I don't know, 4 episodes from now is going to be 242, which is going to be the end of the year podcast. And I got to put that list, compile that list together. Feel free to shoot me your guys' list of anything, music, TV, games that you guys dig on this year and have loved. If you guys like any podcasts that I've put out, from Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes, the Audio Chronicles, from the Comic Syndicate, give me a list. I've really dug these. These are my favorite ones that have stood out to me this year. Definitely please do that. Last bullet point I'm going to hit is, if you guys are local to Orange County, California, Orange County, the block of Orange, or the block, the outlets of Orange, the AMC there is going to have a benefit for my brother, a fundraiser type of deal. So if you guys are local, please go out. I'm going to go out after work, and it's going to be Wreck-It Ralph, and all proceeds are going to go to my brother. So if you guys are local, please definitely do that. Much love and respect. I totally appreciate it. That's about it. Thanks for listening always, guys. You guys can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. It's good to be at this again. I still have a lot more to go through and some dope reviews. Give me a few. I'll be right back with some comic talk.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist of Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
Fuck me, I swear it never surprises me how long I can go on these. It's barely, or I'm already up to 22 minutes. And I'm not even in comic reviews yet. I want to go long, it's just going to be back. And I know once I get talking, I can talk for forever. Especially when I got good shit, or cool shit, or interesting shit to talk about. First piece of news, comic talk I'm going to hit is going to be Ghostbusters 3. Aykroyd has an encouraging update on the reunion script. After years of false starts and interpersonal conflict, it looks like Ghostbusters 3 may be inching closer to getting made, according to one of its creators, Dan Aykroyd, who played Ray in both the 1984 original and the sequel 5 years later, was a guest on The Big Interview with Dan Rather and said he is currently working on his screenplay. What's more, he alludes to having the support of the cast member who has been the toughest to persuade over the years, Bill Murray. There is a possibility of a reunion with the three remaining Ghostbusters, Aykroyd said. It's being written right now in a script that was reportedly greenlit before the death of Harold Ramis, Peter Venkman, in 2014. Fuck, it's been that long already, dude. 4 years. It doesn't feel like it's been that long. It feels like a year or two ago. Murray's character was intended to be a ghost in Aykroyd's remakes. To be a ghost. Aykroyd's remarks give the impression he's working on something using a similar plot, though he will need to write around the absence of Ramis, who not only starred in the first two films, but was also a co-writer. This is the latest in a long list of Ghostbuster projects that have yet to materialize with an animated feature film. Having been proposed in 2015, Ivan Reitman, the original film's director, has continued to express his interest in picking up where the live-action movies left off, though it is unclear whether his vision and Aykroyd's are unified. Very curious. I love that world of the Ghostbusters anyways, and these characters are fucking cool, so kind of curious about that. Next one's going to be Bumblebee to screen 2 weeks early at select theaters. Tickets are on sale now to see the Transformers spin-off prequel, Bumblebee, on December 8th, 7 p.m. Closest to us would be the AMC at the Block, which we're going to tomorrow for my brother's gig. So if you guys are fans of the Transformers movie cinematic, honestly, dude, I'm a huge Transformers fan. Kid of the 80s, grew up with fucking Optimus Prime, who was my first hero. Learned about Megatron. I'm like, ooh, this guy's fucking dope. Saw the movie. I'm like, ooh, this guy just wants to kill everyone. See so many Autobots die. I know it sounds terrible, but I have a love for these fucking characters. And when Michael Bay, you know, produced, directed, wrote part one of Transformers, the movie, it was a good movie. He killed it with 2, 3, 4, and 5, and 6, whatever movies with Marky Mark. All those were still terrible. Bumblebee looks good to me. The fact that they're going to put it back in the 80s era, first of all. And the fact that they're paying homage to the old school characters with the looks of those characters, of Soundwave, of Shockwave, of Optimus Prime, Starscream, all these characters. Looks fucking dope, and I hope they do well, or I hope it does well so they can just kind of like kickstart this franchise again in a positive way. Like, you can finally see like what these Transformers look like, and you can kind of tell to differentiate, like, okay, that's an Autobot, that's a Decepticon. So I already have tickets for that one, which I'm pretty jazzed about. Next one's interesting and kind of weird. Woody Woodpecker gets a second life on YouTube. I didn't know this was a thing, dude. Classic cartoon Woody Woodpecker is back in a new series of 10 animated shorts heading to YouTube. After the success of Universal launching a YouTube channel dedicated to showing classic Woody Woodpecker cartoons, I'm a kid of that era too, the streaming service will produce 10 5-minute shorts and a new documentary, Bird Gone Wild, the Woody Woodpecker story that chronicles the history of the cartoon bird created in 1940 by Walter Lantz and Ben Hardaway. Again, didn't know that was a thing. But I do have YouTube. Fuck it, I'll check it out, I guess, if I have time. Next one's going to be interesting for any of you fans. The Walking Dead ratings plummet to mid-season finale low. I know a lot of people have been upset and have been bailing out little by little on the show. I don't watch it. I've only seen the first maybe 2-3 seasons, so I can't really talk much about a lot of TV shows for a lot of you guys, but I try to hit those news articles and topics just because. Next one's going to be Disney roars in with new Lion King teaser trailer. This one dropped yesterday, I believe, so the 26th. Anyways, my days are off. Let's check it right now. Yeah, the 26th of November. I saw it. It looks exactly like a animated movie, just live-action trailer. How do I feel about it? I haven't seen enough to gauge it. It's the same thing, so I don't fucking know. I don't really care yet. Rumor of Rocket Raccoon and Groot series headed to Disney Plus. So fresh rumors indicate a series starring Rocket Raccoon and Groot is in development by Marvel Studios for Disney Plus. That is going to be their streaming service that they're going to charge for. They've already announced a Scarlet Witch show, a Loki show, and a Winter Soldier and Falcon show. I'm curious about those. Do I want to pay for another streaming service? Probably not, but I'm kind of down. I don't know, I guess. Next one's going to be Daredevil. Netflix has already been pitched a season 4. Daredevil showrunner Eric Olson reveals that the ball is in Netflix court as he pitched season 4 of the Marvel series. It's been reported that last season suffered a 57% drop in viewership, which sparked rumors that the series would be canceled. So that's interesting because everyone's jazzed about it, and I've heard good things about season 3 of Daredevil, although every other one has been canceled. Punisher season 2 is going to drop, and Jessica Jones season 3 is going to drop, I believe. So if they're going to move those over, it's still too soon to tell. Still on Netflix, we're going to have Avengers Infinity War heading to Netflix just in time for Christmas. Netflix has announced when Avengers Infinity War will be available to stream next month on the streaming service, so that's right around the corner, not bad. This one's kind of cool, kind of interesting. If you guys are still listening right now, Netflix will now show you Marvel movies when you search Excelsior. So it's something Stan Lee would say all the time. Netflix has paid tribute to Stan Lee with an amazing shortcut when it comes to searching for Marvel movies, cartoons, and TV shows. Just type in Excelsior, Excelsior, and I'm kind of curious about that search. Next one's going to be Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. renewed for season 7 on ABC. Kind of curious about that. I think I only saw season 1. Captain Marvel was headed to Disney California Adventure ahead of the release in March of Captain Marvel. Visitors at Disney's California Adventure theme park in Anaheim, California, across the street, will have the opportunity to meet with the hero in person. So kind of cool. It's just going to be for the launch of the movie, and they're going to drop her or pull her after a few months. Still kind of curious about that. This one just came out today, guys. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse lands a sequel and female-led spinoff. I'm assuming it's going to be Spider-Gwen. A sequel and a female-led spinoff for Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse have been announced weeks ahead of the film's release. And I'm going to catch this, by the way, in theaters. As detailed by The Hollywood Reporter, Amy Pascal, the producer for both Spider-Verse and its live-action counterparts, will return for the movies with Phil Lord and Chris Miller, two of the creative forces behind Spider-Verse, expected to be involved in some capacity. It's also being revealed the animation director Joaquin Dos Santos, best known for his work on Avatar: The Last Airbender and Voltron, Legendary Defender, will direct the Spider-Verse sequel. Again, it's got to be that one. That's all I got for Marvel news for now. Next one's going to be, let's go DC. Birds of Prey's official title revealed. Margot Robbie revealed the Birds of Prey title is going to be Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn. She revealed it. Do I trust DC Extended Universe? The best movie I've seen has been, I hated Wonder Woman. Everyone thinks that's great. That, compared to a lot of bad, is still bad. I could have edited Wonder Woman to be a lot better of a movie. First act sucked. The only legs it has to stand on is the second act. Third act falls apart. They made her too dumbed down and naive, but if that's what makes a Wonder Broad, more power to you, broads. Batman v Superman, there was a lot of bad in that. The fight scenes between Batman and Superman weren't bad. Ben Affleck wasn't the most terrible thing about the movie. Justice League, a lot of bad in that. Arthur Curry, my boy Jason Momoa. What's up, Jason Momoa? It was not good. And The Flash is still has no legs to stand on as far as writer, director, anything of that sort. And Aquaman, going back to my boy Jason Momoa. Fuck, I hate to say it, dude. It looks like a good fucking movie. It looks like a fun movie. I really hope DC doesn't fuck it up, but DC has a knack for fucking everything up. Again, whoever thought Wonder Woman was a good movie, it's not a good movie, guys. First, second, and third act. Break those down. Out of one, two, and three acts, what are the best acts? Second act, right? She goes into no man's land. Okay, that's a great, powerful moment. Now, one third out of two thirds, that equals a bad fucking movie. Is my math odd or off, or do you guys? And she's hot as fuck, don't get me wrong, but that movie really sucks and it's really not good. Aquaman looks good, though. I love Arthur Curry. I hope it's good. And it just visually, it looks like a beautiful movie. I hope they don't fuck it up. And James Wan, I want to say, is the writer-director of it. I hope he does a good job with it, dude. So anyways, it looks good. I'm not going to be there opening weekend because I think I'm going to watch the other movie instead, which is Aquaman drops with, fuck me, what's the name of the other movie? Not Aquaman, though. Anyways, next one for DC is going to be Supergirl cast John Cryer as Lex Luthor. Trip out on this, guys. Are you guys familiar? Fuck, everyone, whoever's my age, mid-30s and above, I guess. If you guys remember, what is it? I'm trying to fucking... Ducky? From everything, Molly Ringwald's movies, Pretty in Pink, all those movies, Ducky, it is, if you guys don't know that, if that reference is too old for our younger viewers or audience, Two and a Half Men with Charlie Sheen, the brother, the geeky brother, is going to be Lex Luthor on Supergirl. And I know, I'm thinking the same thing you guys are, like, oh, fuck. Now, here's the kicker. I talk shit on DC Extended Universe all the time, movie-wise. Their TV shows, they have heart. They're written properly. They have the time to flesh out these characters. I kind of back this up, and I'm going to explain something really cheesy but kind of cool at the same time. Now, John Cryer was initially in Superman 4, A Quest for Peace. He was Lex Luthor's, I believe, nephew on it. And he was a hot, he was hot shit at the time, I guess, in the early 80s, mid 80s. So they're like, ooh, that Ducky kid, let's put him in anything. He can sell movies. He can't sell movies. I mean, let's face it, he couldn't sell movies without Molly Ringwald or any of the Brat Pack for the most part. But that's besides the point. He was essentially in a Superman movie. He's going to be Lex Luthor on Supergirl. Now, the trip of this, though, is DC TV is different. And they're really cool because they have these very cool Easter egg moments. And Easter eggs are like hidden gems for fans and like hardcore fans. And that they pull old characters or characters that have portrayed characters in their movies before they will pull into their TV shows. So let's take Christopher Reeve, for example. He was Superman in the 80s. They used him in Smallville. Clark Kent, when he was still in Kansas living on the farm, his girlfriend at the time is the mom of Tom Welling on Smallville. Like those small Easter eggs like that. The fact that they pull villains and characters back and forth from different eras of different time. Like the old school Flash from, I want to say, the late 90s or early 90s by this point. That Flash is Flash's dad on the Flash on the TV show right now. And the fact that they always do these weird Easter eggy things. Like Supergirl, the chick, what was her name off the top of my head? Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And again, the early 90s, Buffy the Vampire Slayer with Luke Perry. I remember his name, of course, of everyone's name. But Christy Swanson, they pulled now for Supergirl. So the fact that they have these, and Linda Carter was Wonder Woman way back in the day, and they pulled her for these shows, that they do this, they keep doing this and pulling characters like you have existed in the world before. So we want to give you credit, you know, and kind of pay homage and like Easter eggs for hardcore fans that know this shit. It's kind of fucking cool. So Ducky, who would have fucking known? So I'm curious about that one. That's all I have for that, guys. I had some fucking sick ass reviews for you guys that I'm going to have to wait for next week for, because I went extremely long on just comic news and probably just bashing Rob Liefeld. And again, if you guys think I should, let me know. I'll see what I can do, and I can probably swing that. But let me get to my last review, or only review for this week. This is going to be the last title of this series. It's going to be Cosmic Ghost Rider number 5. It's a Marvel comics title. It's 5 of 5. Donnie Cates is the writer. Dylan Burnett is the artist. Antonio Fabella is the inker. This one starts off straight up. Futuristic Thanos wearing a Punisher shirt. Joining me, Father. Accept what you were always meant to be. As Frank now, so Cosmic Ghost Rider, but he's an old man now. He kind of now accounts for his life. His inner monologue goes off. So even before this, if you guys haven't heard any of these reviews before, Cosmic Ghost Rider, pretty much Thanos attacks the Marvel Universe. Punisher, Frank Castle, was one of the first ones, one of the last ones to die. He goes to hell because he is a fucking mercenary. He's a fucking killer. He has no regret for killing people. No remorse for killing people. He's the Punisher. That's his mission. He makes a deal with, he makes a deal with a devil's right-hand man, Mephisto, and he's given a second chance to roam around Earth as a ghost rider, a spirit of vengeance. And he's avenging and still doing his job until he finally comes across, and everyone in the Marvel Universe by this point has been dead. He comes across Galactus. Galactus gives him new powers. And it's a never-ending onslaught of just a fucked-up world that this guy lives in now. All his friends have been slain by this point. He's been alive for thousands of years where he kind of goes crazy. So why people thought it was Deadpool, it wraps around to Deadpool this episode. Why people think he's crazy is really interesting, or why they thought he was Deadpool. So now his inner monologue goes off. A son, a soldier, husband, father, widower, hero, villain, vigilante, murderer, monster. Where it now looks like he's almost found the acceptance of his own life. And honestly, kind of his own failures, his own miseries, and his own guilt, as it looks as though he's going to take Thanos' hand and his offer. That's really cool. Like, this is issue number 5 of 5. So he started, or this issue started, this whole series started, literally, was given the option to go back. If he could go back, what chance? What would he change? What would he make different? And he's like, fuck it. If I have these powers right now, I'm a cosmic Ghost Rider. So Frank Castle, the Frank Castle you guys know on Netflix, just a twisted, more fucked up, powerful version of this Ghost Rider with cosmic abilities. If you had the option to go back, at what point would you go back to in your life? What moment would you want to change? He chooses, send me back to when fucking Thanos is a baby, so I can kill that fucking son of a bitch. He gets sent back. It's like, ooh, not that. That's a bad fucking decision, but okay, let's send you back. He gets sent back, and he's given the chance, the opportunity. Sneaks in, sees baby Thanos, little baby Thanos, and he's given the option, like, do I want to end this fucking kid? And just like a lot of us, I think, would, pushed out. And he couldn't pull the fucking trigger. He figured the best next option was like, okay, fuck it. I'm going to raise this fucking kid so he doesn't become twisted and distorted the way our Thanos does. That's the premise of the fucking story. So now he's raising or trying to take along this baby Thanos with, and it's a gnarly fucking funny. It shouldn't be this funny, as violent as it is, especially for a Marvel title. So now, again, it comes back to kind of looking like Frank is going to take Thanos' hand. And he says, it's okay to make mistakes. Where now, instead, we see him make an odd move. And instead of taking his hand, he starts blasting adult Thanos in the chest. And it's kind of cute, though, because we see, like, a small panel of baby Thanos, like, smile over this. He's like, fuck, like, my friend is going to give up so easily. And that he's like, fuck, he's fighting back. It's kind of cool. And it's a small panel you kind of have to pay attention to. So now he tells baby Thanos, Thanos, listen to me. No matter what happens, this isn't on you. You don't have to be anything you don't want to be. You remember that. And then baby Thanos says, I do not understand. And then Cosmic Ghost Rider Frank says, you will or you won't. Either way, do me a favor, yeah? Don't watch me right now. As he's going to work. And that's exactly what it is. He goes to fucking work. So continuing the face-off versus Thanos. And this one is cool. He goes down after he blasts the fuck out of Thanos. He says, in case I wasn't clear, that wasn't a no. Then you die. And that's what Thanos says. Well, we now get some pretty dope fight panels that are simple, but kind of really cool and essential to this. As Cosmic Ghost Rider finally unleashes a lot. Like, we've seen him take a beating this whole series, but we haven't seen him really dish it out. And it's really cool as he's fighting back Thanos. He says, do you have any idea how much I hold back? To not destroy worlds as I walk. I try to change you. To change this. Thanos says, please, father, please. So this is older future Thanos that... The baby Thanos, this is future Thanos, accepting the Punisher's role and like, you're my dad and it's okay to seek vengeance. Like, you gave me this bloodlust type of deal. This is the monster that Frank Castle, Punisher, Cosmic Ghost Rider, again, essentially, Frank Castle created. And this bond they have. And again, to see Cosmic Ghost Rider unleash in this way is fucking really cool. Cosmic Ghost Rider, Frank says, you're not my son. My children are dead. And there is nothing that can change that. Nothing. As he continues blasting Thanos. And we don't really see Thanos get his ass kicked this bad ever before. And he's gone toe-to-toe with everyone. As he gives him one final penance glare. And this penance glare is Ghost Riders have this ability. It's called the penance glare, penance stare, whatever you want to call it. It's the ability to inflict victims with all the pain that their victims have caused to others. So kind of like you're going to relive every type of pain you've ever inflicted on anyone before. So that's pretty much what he tries to do. Or that's what he says. He's like, I don't believe in that Sterence there would work on Thanos. Okay. So Thanos has been responsible for the deaths of millions before. And it just doesn't seem like it's going to work. So now Thanos teases Frank, Cosmic Ghost Rider. He says, your penance stare does not work on me like it does the others. Thanos is burdened. He's just not burdened with any regret of ever killing, slaying, devouring, destroying, killing worlds. Frank says, I never said anything about a stare boy. I said penance. Some sort of absolution, some atonement, some amends, and honestly, some punishment that he gives Thanos. So different than the normal penance glare or stare. It's like, I don't want you to feel the fucking guilt. I'm going to make you feel the pain. And that's the difference between the penance stare and glare. Like, you see yourself like, holy shit. And it's emotionally supposed to destroy you and take a lot out of you. So it's really cool as this scene ends and pans out. We see old Frank now finish his job. And it's really cool as we see him visit his younger self now. That older Thanos had started, went back in time to save Frank's castle and his wife and his kids from getting murdered. And he goes to visit himself. And baby Thanos even tells him, you're going to take me now back. You're going to take me back now, aren't you? He's like, I am. Then won't this timeline die? He's like, yeah, it will. But at least they'll die with hope. Like, he's trying to make things better. So it's just very cool to finally see the title end up with him finally, like, understanding he's done terrible things, but finally able to move on. And it's always, everyone can move on, you know, at some point or another. And even though it's Frank fucking Castle, like, something gnarly happens at the end where death has always been a part of Thanos' life, and she's been his seductress. And I don't mean death like just the death of people. No, death is a character, a female character, and she has always seduced Thanos. And that's been his goal, to please her. He has to kill these worlds for her arm. Like, it's a stupid, twisted love story. And the fact that Thanos keeps falling for it is odd. And even when he finally gets back and puts baby Thanos back, she's like, thank you, Frank. I knew you were the only person that can do it. You are still going to raise him to become the monster that he was always going to be anyways. He saw you kill. So it's always going to be embedded in him. So it's fucked up. Like, even to know you try and you fail. It's one of those catch-22s in life. You're damned if you do sometimes. You're damned if you don't. You gotta take that fucking swing sometimes, so, right? I mean, what path do you want to take? And we don't ever have that option, the ability to see which path is going to be the right path or not. But it's up to us to decide which path we're going to take. It's a cool fucking story. It's a 5-issue arc. It's a great fucking character. I love the fuck out of this character. And he's going to be involved in the next rendition of Guardians of the Galaxy. So it's really cool how he's going to end up in the Marvel Universe now, proper. And yeah, I'm curious as fuck. So I love the fuck out of it. That was Book of the Week. I have 2 killer reviews on top of that. I would go an extra 25 more minutes if I were to do that. But yeah, for being back after, I think, 2 weeks off, minus the deep dives and rabbit holes that got dropped last week, I'm feeling good, but not good enough to bore you guys that much. So if you guys want to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, please do that. Share the podcast more than anything. I know I'm a talker. I'm going to put some Twitter polls up on both sides, and I'm probably going to put one about the Rob Liefeld. Should I do an audio chronicles? And it's just something I want to do. Is it smart? No. Is it stupid? Probably. Is it ballsy? Yeah. Am I going to do it? Most likely, yes. So that's my mentality. Fuck the world and just fuck it. There's no for an answer. So yeah. All right, guys. Share the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Subscribe to the podcast more than anything. Share the podcast. You guys are rad awesome. Hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving, and let's rock out a good Christmas for you guys as well. Share the podcast. You guys are rad awesome. Thank you. I'll catch you guys next week. Peace out.